All right.
Test, test. Jingle, jingle.
Jingle, jingle.
That's our jingle at the beginning.
Oh, I see. Jingle, jingle.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Narnia.
Welcome to Narnia. Thank you, Mr. Tumnus. Or welcome to Continuing Conversations.
Continuing Conversations.
I'm Pastor Matt.
I am Pastor Dana.
And this is a midweek Continuing Conversations, which is kind of fun. Because this Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, so we had midweek services. We're going to try to do these.
Slash Wednesday, Hash Wednesday,
hashtag
Mash Wednesday.
All of it. Everything you're saying. should we continue these through Lent to do these continuing conversations things?
I don't hate it. Also,
I don't hate the idea.
I was thinking about it would be fun to pull in other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're having people share some stuff on our Wednesday night Lent services, then we could pull some other people. Like, we talked
open
to so many people.
Yeah, I would like to get other voices in on this. It doesn't have to be just you and me.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, this Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, as I said, and seeing that it's Ash Wednesday, we read the text that we always read on Ash Wednesday.
Yes.
Our church, we mostly follow the lectionary. And
the lectionary
is a collection of texts. You get an Old Testament, you get a New Testament epistle, you get a gospel lesson, and you get a reading from the Psalms. And there's a three-year rotation, year A, year B, and year C. And we are on year C. So each Sunday, there is a collection of texts to use. And that's why it seems often that this church thing that we do is cyclical throughout the seasons. It's like we hear these stories again and again, but they're different from year to year, but they're the same over that three-year cycle.
But this is the point of the Bible being a living word,
right?
Is that it's the same words, sure,
right?
But as our life situations mm-hmm. change, as our relationships change, as you know, we change as people, that living word hits us in different ways.
Yeah, it speaks through us differently. And I mean, I'm, it's not like I haven't been doing this forever, but I'm on year 8 of my career. Mm-hmm. And so already mm-hmm. I've been through this cycle a couple of times. I've preached on the same text a couple of times.
Yeah.
And if I'm lucky enough to continue this calling for the rest of my life, it's like, I'll do this so many more times, but already it's like, I've found new stuff to say.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, or cyclical. Sometimes it is kind of fun to hear what other people say about the same text too. Like,
oh, it's wild.
I have liked some sermon series where they go through like the prodigal son
mm-hmm.
and they will preach on one perspective of it from the older son, or one perspective of it from the father
or the prodigal son, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as we're preaching a living word too, we're dealing with living human beings who don't have the same life experiences and don't see texts in the same way that we do either.
Yeah.
So,
and as time goes on, of course, we in 2025 are going to have a different interpretation of these words that are thousands of years old.
Oh yeah.
And we're going to relate to them in different ways. So we keep coming back to it for a reason. But the reason I bring up the lectionary is because no matter what, A, B, or C, every year we read mm-hmm. Matthew 6,
mm-hmm.
1 through 6, 16 through 21. And we take a little break in between 6 and 16.
I mean, we pick and choose, right?
We pick and choose. That's what the lectionary kind of is all about, is you pick and choose. But
my favorite,
read this.
And you heard this as you read the gospel mm-hmm. last night, was that they had to turn a page. So
everybody
we're reading
wants.
Through the gospel, reading, and then all of a sudden you just hear
everybody
crinkly
pages. Oh, but at least they're following along. It's good to hear people are paying attention.
Yeah.
They're not asleep yet.
Right.
I mean, I'll start preaching, then they'll fall asleep. But so it's always the same text
mm-hmm.
year after year.
Mm-hmm.
I also bring this up because we're going to be talking about the Beatitudes throughout Lent. And that means we're taking a break from the lectionary. We're not following those texts. We're doing something completely different, which is something that we can do as the church. We follow the lectionary, but it's really something that we can make our own, and we can pick and choose. We don't read every text every Sunday anyway, so we're going to take some time to focus on the Beatitudes, which will be fun too.
So, and that series then will be very focused and
on one text
and
over and over.
We're going to read that over and over. Mm-hmm. We're going to really dig into that, which I think that'll be a challenge for our congregation as well. To hear one text over and over, to hear different perspectives, and not an overview of a passage or not a familiar passage that they're like, oh yeah, that there's our 8-minute sermon on, you know, whatever. Yeah. So
yeah, it's definitely
I'm excited for that.
Do you go an ankle deep or a mile wide, or do you go super deep on one topic? And the Beatitudes, we're gonna get deep with it. So,
or at least we hope.
But yeah, anyway, is Ash Wednesday, always Matthew 6, and I love it. Yep. And I started my sermon with it because I think it's so funny that this is a text about, let's not practice our piety before others.
Right.
Let's not make a big show of our faith on the only day in the church calendar where we as Christians like really have an outward sign of our faith by smudging ashes on our forehead.
Yeah.
Like Jesus even says, you know, do not look dismal, for they disfigure their faces as to show others that they're fasting. Mm-hmm. And then we disfigure our faces to show the whole world that we're also fasting from self-indulgence or whatever we're doing through Lent. Some people aren't doing anything, giving up stuff for Lent, but
that's me.
That's usually me. I'm giving up something this year, but usually,
I don't know. I just can't choose. And I quit it anyway. And then I just feel bad. And I quit it anyway
most of the time. And also it's like, what am I trying to do by giving up chocolate? I'm like Jesus. That's why I usually push back against it. Cause it's like, what are you trying to accomplish? If your goal is to give something up to try to be like, well, Jesus suffered, so am I. It's like you've completely misunderstood
the point. Except that you are giving up stuff this year.
I am. But that's less because, you know, I'm trying to be like Jesus or anything, and more maybe, and that's I'm trying something new this year, because when your Lenten practice, whatever you're doing, you're fasting from some sort of self-indulgence, you're giving something up, or you're taking on a spiritual practice, like whatever it is, if the goal is to reorient yourself to think differently about your faith and to get closer with God through this thing that you give up. It's not like giving up, because I'm giving up desserts this year. It's not like, oh, I'm giving up desserts and now I'm going to be closer to God. But every day when I go to do my usual thing, which is, you know,
just
where
eat
the Oreos
dessert for every meal.
Oh man, I would. I really would if I could. But by doing that, I'm going to have this intentional time where I have to stop and go, oh, I can't do that. Why can't I do that? Oh, because it's Lent. What's Lent? So it's a reframing. I'm not doing it because I think I can get closer to God or be more like Jesus or whatever, but to just have this purposeful break in the usual, in the norm. Mm-hmm. And that'll be something. I don't know.
But a
or
disruption
nothing.
Of a routine
a disruption.
Is also something that turns us a little more towards the gospel.
And that's what Lent is a time for.
And that's
stopping, reflecting. Yep. And turning. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what my sermon was about this Wednesday, about how these practices, what Jesus is getting to in this text is not, he's not saying, because he says, whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. He's not saying it's bad to pray. Mm-hmm. He's not saying it's bad to fast. He's not saying it's bad to do these things, but it's bad to do these things if the purpose of it is to puff yourself up.
Yep.
And beef your own reputation up and have everybody turn their attention on you, when in reality, these things that you you do, these practices, should be to reorient you and turn you out to the people in need in our world. And that's why it ends with the, you know, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth. Yeah. It's about that reorientation, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And that's a good way to start Lent.
I was thinking about, I listened to your sermon again this morning on the drive-in.
Cool. Yay,
get
podcast.
A little refresher.
Yep.
That was helpful, I think, actually. So normally we have done services, our two services. So I'm like taking notes. My notes are kind of all over the place.
Yeah, that's how this happens. Yeah.
So I'm taking notes while you're speaking. Mm-hmm. And then right after services, we jump in a room and do this podcast. Mm-hmm. Today, we have a different routine because service was last night. So
it was
then
a little late.
We went home, got to sleep on it. Mm-hmm. And then, I woke up and listened to it this morning, mm-hmm. again on the drive, and there was a different like thing that came with that too, instead yeah. of, and I like both ways of doing that, but it got a little air to breathe in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Overnight. It's nice. You can process it a little bit more.
I was thinking about how, so last week I spoke on the Transfiguration, which mm-hmm. is one of the hardest because it's this divine moment of God, yeah. but Jesus is constantly outward facing mm-hmm. to the people.
Yeah.
These are the passages that are so fun to preach about. The mm-hmm. Beatitudes, where he says,
yeah.
go be outward facing to yep. the people, go be with the people, go be, one of the phrases I feel like I keep using all the time now is in the dirt, go be in the dirt mm-hmm. with people.
Yeah.
And as I was thinking about that, being in the dirt with people, this was such a different reorientation of that than mm-hmm. to go inside ourselves
right.
for a reorientation of what the gospel means mm. and, you know, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth
right.
and don't make a show of praying and fasting. And mm-hmm. then us being in the dirt with people to mix up ashes
yeah.
of
yeah.
dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then smear them on their faces. Like
yeah.
it brought everything so close together in a moment
yeah.
that I felt like last night putting ashes on people, I was getting emotional doing it.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a
like spiritual experience to have that practice. I don't know. Did mm-hmm. you have that while we were
oh,
doing
yeah.
that?
Oh yeah. Ash Wednesday. I kind of mentioned it in my sermon about how it's a day that I love and hate at the same
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
It's such a day of contradictions for me because I don't like the dirt and the mess, but I love this day because it's such an honest day in the church mm-hmm. when we just cut all the edifice out and we're just yep. like, we're all going to die. Like, we are dust and to dust we shall return. And part of that is, yeah, people come up one by one and you have to put an ash cross on their
well,
forehead.
Well, it's like pretty intimate. Like, okay,
you're getting right up in their face.
Yeah, yeah. You're all up in their space. It's communion, you can kind of throw some
yeah,
bread
there's
at
a little
people,
distance.
Right? There's mm-hmm. a little bit of like, here you go, birdie.
Yeah.
Open your mouth.
Open,
But like, you're like in their...
You're on their... You're on touching their skin. A lot of times you have to move people's hair away.
Gosh,
so you're touching people's hair
and
their
like,
face.
Or I said like the oily faces that you
It's
see,
a little strange like... thing. And it's, like you said, it's heavy. And it weighs on you. I'm always exhausted at the end of Ash
yeah.
Wednesday. Because to do that time, every single person you're going up saying... You are dust, and you're going to die. And there are children come up during that service. Little children
yeah.
come up, and I have to put an ash cross on them and look them in their little face and be like, "You too are dust, and you are beloved, and you are a child of God, and yet you will return someday." And that's such a strange and powerful thing that we do as a
yeah.
church, and yeah. it's extra heavy. Because now I've been here at this church for almost 5 years. There are people that I've marked with ash crosses that are not here
anymore.
You
said that in your sermon, and that was, I don't know, that moment, maybe the first time hearing it, mm-hmm. I like breezed over it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then listening again in the car, I like teared yeah. up a little bit of
well,
like,
there are people.
I
put an ash cross on a man's forehead last
yeah.
night whose wife passed away not too
yeah.
long ago. And I'm like, yep. last year,
yep.
you two came up together.
Yep.
And I put an ash cross on your wife's forehead. And now I'm putting one on your forehead. And she's not with you anymore because, sadly, she passed. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that puts it right into some pretty stark realness of what this is all about. So it's a wild day in the church.
Yeah. And that takes it so much deeper than like, hey, remember mm-hmm. someday
I can
whenever,
look and I can see who's not there.
Yeah.
And that's a weird thing.
Yeah.
It's a weird, deep thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have gravitated towards, well, yesterday especially, like seeing some posts about Ash Wednesday mm-hmm. and thinking about this. I was really gravitating toward the language of like you are dust, like mm-hmm. we are dust right now.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, we're going to return to dust.
Right, but even now, yeah.
But now mm. we are like made of the same thing that stars are made out of.
Mm-hmm.
And we are made in this image all coming from this one bowl of mixed up ashes, like you and me and our neighbor and that person across the street that I don't like. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, like
we're all from that stuff.
That person who did that bad thing that mm-hmm. I would never do in a million years. Yeah. Like that we are all made of the same. Yeah. Like artist painting materials. Kind of, you know,
carbon.
Like creator moment to, mm-hmm. to view God as an artist and a creator of like.
While you're trying to perfect element. Your own.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Mine were so bad. I looked over to a couple of the ones you were doing and they were just so nice and neat crosses on their foreheads. Mine are like,
I thought they were fine.
I couldn't get the art down of using my thumb or my index finger. And I was kind of switching off.
You'll get, as you do it more, you'll get a rhythm.
Oh, don't do that.
A rhythm. Well, you will. I mean, it's what you did was great. I didn't see anything wrong. But if you're bringing up that you think it's bad, I didn't think they were bad. But you'll find a way that works.
No, I'm a type A city kid.
Well, we both are.
That was the funniest point in your sermon, I know. Where you were like, this is your fault. You called two type A city kids.
Well, they did. They called,
who don't like mess. So.
Type A kids from the city to this. I mean, we're in the Minneapolis Area Synod, but this is a very rural congregation.
We're the farthest west.
Yeah, we're the we're the watchers on the wall. We're out here on the boundary. And
we're basically California, I mean.
Basically. Yeah, we're the West Coast. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of like farmers in our congregation, and I feel like such a wimp being like, there's stuff in my fingernails.
I need to go get my nails done.
I don't like this. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I went home and I used one of Kelsey's makeup wipes to get the cross on my forehead.
I immediately left and
my forehead.
Like wiped my forehead. It was yep, forgot about that.
Yeah. Oh, that happens too. Yeah. You'll be driving around
and
be like,
ours were like juicy ashes though. Like, yeah. Some churches use very dusty.
Yeah. We may have used a little bit too much oil. And mixing oil. So for those of you listening to the podcast who've never made ashes for Ash Wednesday, because why would you have? You cannot mix ash and water
together.
Well, let's
start at the beginning. The ashes are the burned palms.
From previous Palm Sundays.
From the last Palm Sunday.
Yes. Actually, the ones...
Which is symbolic in itself.
Yeah. It brings the calendar of the church full circle. I do like... Mm-hmm. That's why I try to... Mm-hmm. I try to bring that. I didn't bring that up this year, but that is a cool image that the calendar comes full circle.
Yeah.
But the palms we used or the ashes we used were from 2023's palms. 2024's palms are still in Lois's attic. We didn't burn them this year because we had so much. We have years worth of ashes.
Yeah.
But so we didn't burn last year's, but 2023, it was a good year.
Like
it's a good vintage.
Yeah, I think that's a cool symbolic.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. So, yeah. So
when
we're using...
I wasn't even a thought in your mind.
No, you weren't here in 2023. Here. Yeah. What were we doing in 2023?
2023 Ash Wednesday, I was sick in California.
Oh, was that the one that you
And I missed
couldn't...
Ash Wednesday. So.
Bummer. Bummer.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So,
Anyway.
So, yeah, we used those burnt palms from previous Palm Sundays.
Yep.
We burn them and then we collect the ashes and we store them. And then you have to mix them up with oil, not water.
I want to point out, we store them in like a Ziploc bag.
Yeah,
in your
it's
office,
not very ceremonial. There's not like a little tabernacle that we keep them in the holiest of holy places. No, it's in a Ziploc in my desk.
Uh-huh.
But yes, if you mix water and ash together, you make lye. And lye is very caustic and it will burn people's skin. It will chemically burn your skin. So if you mix up a slurry for your Ash Wednesday with water and ashes, everybody will go home with a permanent little burn on their skin it's not permanent, but it'll burn people's skin for a little bit.
Good.
It'll leave a mark. So you have to mix it with oil. And the only, at least I found the best tool for the job is to use your fingers
mix
it up.
Yep.
And it's like making a gravy where it's
I said lava cake.
It is very lava cakey consistency, but it's like you do a little bit of ash, a little bit of oil. Oh, okay. A little bit more ash, a little bit more oil. Okay. Now I need, you just sort of mix and mix and mix. And our mix ended up being maybe just a schminkity wink too much oil. A little bit too gravy. Could have used some more ash.
It's fine. Hey,
it's fine. Well, it worked. It didn't. The thing you don't want is it to be so loose that it's dripping down people's foreheads. We didn't have any drip.
Oh, I had a.
Did you have some drip?
Where I watched them walk away and I was like, don't drip, don't No. Or you're like praying, like, don't.
Yeah. I had a couple, like, and I just worked it in a little bit more. Okay. I just did a couple more passes of my thumb.
Stay
just,
here. Don't move. I gotta, gotta perfect this.
Yeah.
Okay. This is interesting. Maybe we can relate this back to God being an artist and a creator. Like, using the same materials and how differently that can turn out, that there can be some dusty ashes that come out of it, or you mix in a little more oil and, and you have a little bit different concoction that comes of it. And that's called people.
That's called people. That's called life. Called
people.
To year. Yep. It's not the same.
Right.
Yeah. You just have to go with it, I guess. Yeah,
because wouldn't it be boring if it was all the same all the time? Like,
true that.
All people were the same.
Yeah.
All people were.
Yeah. And it's hard that we all have to live and coexist together with all of our different ideas of how the world should work.
Oh, is that difficult? I've never experienced
no,
that.
Huh. No. Hmm.
I feel like we totally agree on everything.
Yeah. I think the world is just one big kumbaya right now. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Everything's great.
Never heard that. I want you to talk about being smudging agents.
Yeah. So we talked about that.
No, don't use the language of your sermon.
Okay.
Use your own language.
Use my own language. Well, I'm not looking at it.
Okay.
I'm,
oh, I thought you were looking at it.
No, the smudging agent. So that came up in our last conversation. So if you listened to our last continuing conversation, you would have gotten a little bit of a preview of this.
Little plug. All of our continuing
conversations. And by the way, shout out Doug, who listened and brought up the money changing belt cincture thing. That was pretty cool. And he was like, see, I do listen. So we do know people are listening. So yeah, if you
and
listen
to
these.
And we test you. If you listen, we're like, hey, what did we talk about?
Yeah, what did we talk about?
You know.
And then we give you a reward if you do.
Yeah, it's called heaven points.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. We'll give you 10 heaven points. But yeah, so you would have gotten a little preview because as we were talking about your sermon about blurring the lines, you know, separating those, you know, first class from the economy class and relating to Jesus and Elijah and Moses up on the mountain with the disciples. And they're on this separated area, but we can't stay there. We have to go down
and blur the lines.
And that's what we're called to do too, right? And that's part of the, as we started this conversation, talking about these Lenten practices should be things that reorient ourselves outward to the world for the sake of those in need. So how are we using these Lenten practices that we're doing, these in the case of Ash Wednesday, a literal smudge on your forehead, to remind ourselves of our identity as called children of God, who are called to go out with smudges, to be smudgers, and take those little lines that try to divide people, who's in, who's out, you know, who's worthy of, you know, because you hear that so much these days of who's in, who's out, who's worthy of it, who's not, you know. If somebody comes to church and they've got, you know, tattoos, oh, are they not good enough to be here? They should be more, I don't know, I'm just trying to use like
more
the most obvious, clean cut. They look like a type of person.
As a physical distinguisher.
Yeah, as a physical thing where, it's like, are we doing our part to speak up and advocate for all people, whether that's something as physical and obvious as like someone's got aggressive tattoos and piercings. It's like, they're not church people. Sure they are. They're a child of God just like everybody else, you know? How are we using our call to go out and smudge those lines and be as welcoming and inviting and bringing people into this grand story that we're called to practice in?
So I'm gonna challenge the smudging agents just a bit. There is a recognition of privilege that needs to come with being a smudging agent of, and not in a prideful or egotistical way, but in a like, the ones who are creating the hierarchies and the ones on the inside are the privileged ones.
Yeah, for sure.
And the ones who need to be tasked and called to do the smudging. Because I think I think a lot of times there gets placed on the outsiders to be the ones who smudge the lines.
Right. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps.
Pull yourself up.
Which is literally impossible. Right? You need somebody else to lift you up.
You need an insider to be the one advocating for the outsider. And I think, and to relate specifically to church, there's this like, well, why don't those people out there come to church? Well, there's nothing, they can't get through those lines.
Yeah.
Like that's, That's just not going to happen. And we sit in our church and on all of our privilege and are like, oh, they would be so much better off if they came here.
If they came to us. Yeah.
And, and that's actually like so much harder because we're on the inside. We don't get it from that other side, but like, that's how we have to be the smudgers,
right?
Is to reach down. And I think I said this last week, like reach down from our mountaintop into the valley, not sit on our mountaintop and be like, come on, get up here. Use that ladder. Yeah. Like what?
Yeah. You're going to make them do more work.
So
you know?
I wonder if there's work to be done from the smudging agents of recognition of privilege.
For sure. Yeah.
Of
and
a
that's
place
helpful to do too.
Of, yeah, like I have made it and not try to put ourselves on the outside of that.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, I need a smudging agent. No,
you
are
the
smudging agent.
And you're
the
only one who can.
Yes.
And yeah, that's true because that is a big, every church I've ever been a part of, it always has, they love to brag about, we're such a welcoming church, right?
Right.
We're welcoming.
Right.
But the being a welcoming church is a good thing. I'm not saying it's not good, but by definition, that means that someone from the outside has to enter within your doors.
You have to receive the welcome.
And then say,
right, like,
yay, we welcome you. But it's like, they're not, like you said, they're not going to come through your doors unless someone invites them in. And to be, instead
I would even
of,
go as far as to say, walks with them
walks
inside
with them
the door.
In, right?
Like,
so instead of saying, bragging about, we're a welcoming church, you should be an inviting church. And to do that, means you have to get out. You have to come down from your mountaintop.
Yes.
You have to go out and then walk, like you said, walk with them in, because you can say you're welcoming all you want, but you're going to be waiting a long time for someone to show up.
Well, you can't
to
be
do
welcoming to no one.
Because right now, a lot of churches are welcoming to no one. They say they're welcoming, but it's like, how are you getting people through the door in the first place? You have to go out. You have to do that work. And that's the point of the smudging agents thing is you have to get down from your high holy place. You have to go out. You have to find those people, invite them in lovingly and walk with them through, you know?
And not as a conquering mindset.
Not as a conquering,
like,
not as a
language
conquering...
always makes me a little bit like, go find the people and bring
go
them here.
Them.
Go. How do we keep them
and
here?
And then once they're here, by the way, make them fill out a pledge card so we can get their money.
Right.
And so, that's the other thing is a lot of churches talk that growth mindset always gets to the end. It always comes down to so that we can say that our numbers are growing and that so the church bank account can keep growing. And it's like, that's not the purpose either. Our purpose is to spread and share the gospel. Not for, you know.
But
so.
This is how messy churches are, right? Like
Because it's a human institution.
We need money to continue.
Yes.
Like we've kind of said this in our stewardship of like, it's not just to keep the lights on, but like also we
but
gotta
also
keep the lights
we need
on,
to keep the lights
you know?
On.
Like,
and yeah, I've
so let's just go out and say
the church
that, you know?
Pays
and,
our paychecks.
Right.
And if they stopped paying paychecks, we'd have to go do something else.
Yeah.
Because we need money. So like, sadly churches and at the end, our human institutions that are broken.
So next Sunday, I'll put my fanny pack on my sink chair.
Yeah, there you go. And then start going around being like, all right.
But
money,
I have a huge issue with the colonizing, conquering language that churches use a lot. Of like, where are the young people? We have to get them.
Yeah.
Get them to what? Yeah. What? Like what?
Maybe
we can change that to like, we have to love them.
And we have to find.
That's on the privileged, not on the young people to
we have to love them and we have to provide something that
provide,
can feed them spiritually or physically or whatever. So it's like we have to go out and get them. Sure, that sounds great, but to what end? Are once they're here, is there something that they're going to find here that's good for them and feeds them? And right now, in a lot of ways, the churches just aren't, you know, they're not providing something that is making certain people feel like they're being fed spiritually.
Because churches are saying this is for everybody and the idea of everybody really only speaks to the privileged ones. Like I don't know how to say that better, but it doesn't, it's not actually everybody.
Right.
But they make the privileged ones feel like it's everybody so that they don't have to go out and reach out to the oppressed and the poor right. and mm-hmm. the different yeah. communities and different races yeah. and different genders. Yeah. Like the, yeah.
It's about, yeah, a sort of giving without expecting anything in return. We're not expecting by going out and giving that we're going to get them to come to our church and they're going to, oh, you know, it's okay. not coming back to us.
Yeah.
Ultimately, our true service should not be something that we see as, yeah, we're going to get them to come to our church. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's a tough line that the church has to walk because yeah, like you said, at the end of the day, we are trying to keep our lights on and grow this place, but it should be to the point of spreading the gospel and sharing the good news and
yeah.
feeding the hungry and housing the poor and all those things that Jesus calls us to, not just,
and
we can just be the biggest church on the block with the coolest, you know, sanctuary with all the shiny things and all the happy, shiny people,
you know, happy, shiny people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. And it's not going out to feed the poor to then turn around and say, so that they know where it came from.
Yeah.
They know mm-hmm. who fed them. Like
yep.
that has been said.
Yes, it has been said.
around us. And, yeah. and I think, and I got really uncomfortable in that statement
mm-hmm.
that God said of like, that's yeah. not, whoa, we missed the point.
No, that's not what we're trying
we've
to
lost
do.
Lost the plot, people. This is not.
Yeah.
For that.
And
I get the point. Like,
yeah.
I get what they were trying to say yeah. in that, like, hey, let's go feed the poor and they'll know who it came
yeah.
from. No.
Yeah. That, I mean, it's the old,
the gospel that
they'll
we're
know
reading.
We are Christians by our love, not by the fact that we ram it down their throat of like, we're Christians and we're good. It's like,
yeah.
we'll just love. And then through that love, they'll go, oh, they must be called.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, yeah. not because you're walking around with a big billboard on your head of like, I came from All Saints. It's like, I don't hate that idea because I would love for people to know that our people do good things, but yeah. And that's, that goes back to the cross on your forehead. So this is a day where we're smudging crosses on our forehead or a hat that says it or whatever. It's like, yeah, we have all these things that we want to identify ourselves. But as Jesus says in this gospel, it's, you know, when you do that for the sake of puffing yourself up, mm-hmm. you're being
yep.
a hypocrite.
Yep.
You know, yeah. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go a different direction.
Okay.
In our contradictions. In your sermon, you talked about the kids who would come up
mm-hmm.
at the church and be like,
yeah.
is it still there? Is it
yeah.
still there?
Mm-hmm.
And how we also need community to mm-hmm. see
yeah.
that it's still there.
Yep.
In that I heard, because I think you said, you know, if you get your cross in the morning and then you go mm-hmm. to the store and
yeah.
the clerk is like, oh yeah, the cross.
Mm-hmm.
I heard less of like, we need our own community and, mm-hmm. and a tight knit group. We actually need to get off the mountain and go
yeah.
into the world.
Mm-hmm.
With that, and you didn't say this in like a showy mm-hmm. way, but
right.
but as a yeah, as a like the rest of the world is our community,
right? Yeah, mm-hmm.
our tiny little circles, our
yeah.
our deep lines that we mm-hmm. have drawn in our hierarchies,
yeah.
our church circles that we've made, like mm-hmm. those actually, like meh,
yeah,
okay. Sure,
yeah.
Jesus had that too. Okay,
mm-hmm.
you're going to
yeah.
talk about the disciples
yeah.
and whatever. But it's the community of the world that we actually need
yeah.
to go out into.
Right. And that should be the purpose of the ash cross on your forehead on mm-hmm. Ash Wednesday is not to, so we can all have these self-identifying markers on mm-hmm. ourselves, like we're the, what's that,
the Dr. star-bellied Seuss, sneetches.
The sneetches, yeah, and be like, look at us. We all have the star. We all have the little smudge on our
and
forehead.
You guys have the green
and
dot.
You guys don't have it, so you're not as
or
good
something?
Or something. Yeah, one has stars, one has dots.
Star-bellied?
Or one has none. I don't know.
They're the nuns. Because
they're the nuns,
isn't,
yeah.
Isn't it actually kind of a religious?
A lot of.
Or do we just
a
use
lot
it
of
that
Dr.
Way?
Seuss
oh.
is religious.
Oh.
Yeah, there's
like,
a
go,
lot
dog,
of Dr.
Go?
Seuss. Not, maybe not like one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. But like Yertle the Turtle, I want to do a sermon series on Yertle the Turtle.
We should do a Dr. Seuss series.
Yeah, the Gospel According to Dr. Seuss. I would like that.
I love it.
There's some problematic aspects
we'll
to Dr. Seuss books.
We'll do that, and then we'll do the Gospel According to Taylor Swift.
There you go.
Perfect.
I have the Gospel According to Disney somewhere on my bookshelf up there. I would like to do that as well.
That one I agree with less.
Than the Taylor Swift one? Than the one that you're into?
Well, yeah, yeah. Duh.
There's, you this can't is about criticize me, okay? Taylor. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with she does.
People have told me they don't love Taylor, and I'm like, you don't understand. Mm-hmm.
Back to the thing about the Starbelly Sneetches.
Sorry, the Starbelly Sneetches.
Well, it's not, the ashes on our forehead are not to be like, we're the in crowd, you're the out crowd. But so that you can, like you said, go out into the world, and whether it's the checkout counter, you know, clerk, or you're at the coffee shop, or whatever, wherever you end up, someone sees that.
Well, it's just in cross, the world. Like,
yeah. And they see, they can help reflect to you your own identity as mm-hmm. child of God, mm-hmm. you know, as this stuff made out of dust, you know, made of star stuff, made of the earth to return to the earth. Everybody you see, even the ones that aren't marked with the cross, even without the star on their belly mm-hmm. or whatever, they're children of God too, just like us. And you see your own humanity reflected at you, which is part of the beauty of Ash Wednesday, is we have this outward sign, but you can't really see it yourself unless somebody reflects it back to you.
Well, it's also a reminder of our baptism,
mm-hmm.
Which is not a physical sign.
Yeah.
So this
we get a cross, but that one you can't see.
That
on our
one
forehead.
Is forever.
Forever, but in a non-physical-y way.
And you know, what we're really doing in worship too is like remembering our baptism every Sunday,
right?
Tiny Easters,
yep,
remembering
tiny
our
Easters.
Baptism
mm-hmm.
and receiving communion. Like those are the pillars of a worship
mm-hmm.
and
word sacrament.
And so the physical smudge of a cross really doesn't matter because we've already had our baptism cross on our forehead.
It's not a it's not a sacrament.
No,
Ash Wednesday
is
a church made mm-hmm. holiday.
And if
it's
you
not in the Bible,
still need to be baptized, mm-hmm. we can do that. Let's do it. Yeah. Talk to us.
Okay. Yes, exactly. but the whole, you are dust and to dust you shall return is biblical, yes.
Yes.
But Jesus never said on the Wednesday starting Lent, you should all smear ash on it. This is completely man-made.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not, to your point, it's not something you must do.
The phone is ringing.
I don't know who that is. It might be. It just says Minneapolis. Anyway.
Okay, well, the phone's going to ring. Yeah. I don't even know if I'm talking pretty closely into my microphone. Maybe
they might not be able to hear it.
Do you want to know what it sounds like?
Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Like that.
I was going to try, and then I was like, I don't even know if I can make a phone noise.
I programmed my phone to only ring once.
I don't think my phone works. So
yeah, yours you don't get. Oh, well. It may be the people I'm supposed to meet here at 11 True. Saying that they're running a little bit late because they're not here. Sorry, that derailed me.
I know, me too. I'm like looking at my notes. Where?
Yep.
What else did I want to
do? And I know you have to leave at 11, so we got to wrap this up a little bit.
I want to bring up, I think about this every Ash Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and it is Nadia Bowles-Weber, shout out. Yep. Would love to meet you someday. I hope you listen to our podcast.
Yep.
I promise I won't be a fangirl, but maybe just
but
like
a little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
And her image of Ash Wednesday, which I it just is in my brain permanently there. Mm-hmm. And she says, here's my image of Ash Wednesday. If our lives were a long piece of fabric with our baptism at one end and our funeral on another, and we don't know the distance between those two, then Ash Wednesday is a time when that fabric is pinched in the middle and the ends are held up so that our baptism is in the past and our funerals in the future meet. The water and words from our baptism plus the earth and words from our funerals have come from the past and future to meet us in the present. And in that meeting, we are reminded of the promises of God, that we are God's, that there is no sin, no darkness, and yes, no grave that God will not come find us in and love us back to life. These promises outlast our earthly bodies and the limits of time.
Dang. Yeah, she's good. She's
good, eh? And this is 2021 that I found it from. I don't know if she said it earlier than that either, but
No, that's beautiful.
I just think about that image of like pinching a cloth in the middle
and having the ends meet.
And having the ends meet, but also here. Like your beginning and your end are also your present.
Yeah.
And this, yeah, this like there is no
yeah.
place Ash. Where God won't meet us in all of that.
Ash Wednesday is the weirdest,
and it's so
best
weird.
Church
it's
day. So I love it yep. so much. It is my favorite church holiday because it's just
I was
it's
thinking
so...
about that too. Coming off of Transfiguration was my least favorite.
Yeah, and then... yeah, really. That is, yeah,
and then
that
jumping
is not my
into
favorite.
Ash Wednesday of like, what a wild swing though.
We it
go
is
from
such a crazy
transfiguration of a glowing face on a mountain to like, we have our fingers in dirt. Trying to smudge it around, right?
Yeah,
like,
it
this
is a
also
stark
the
contrast.
Church. This is the contradictions of the gospel.
Absolutely. So
someone just came in the door.
That might be my 11 o'clock, but what a beautiful image, and that's why it's so great. It's just this weird day of contradictions, and it's messy and beautiful and so heavy and holy and it's great. I love it a lot. Well, we would like to continue the conversation with you. If you would like to be a part of this, give us some comments on social media. Let us know what you've been thinking of this. If you go
we
to
love
our
continuing
church,
even more conversations.
Exactly. So
that's
if you,
the next five, that's tomorrow's.
Yeah. Even more
continuing more.
But like if you're someone who attends All Saints, let us know that you're listening. And if you have any thoughts or questions like Doug did, I want to hear it. You know, we want to continue this conversation from here. That's the point of this podcast is that we can have sermons be less of a monologue where we're talking at you, and it's something we can discuss and bounce ideas off of. And then later, if you're listening to this and go, you know, I've always thought of Ash Wednesday like this, I want to hear it. That would be exciting.
Or if you're like, that was so confusing or so dumb, and
I didn't
never
like
heard
it.
That.
Yeah.
Like, we kind of want to know that too.
Yeah, if your sermon was bad and you should feel bad,
not the sermon,
I would like to hear that.
Conversation.
Or that too. So, anyway, thank you for helping us continue the conversation, and we hope to talk to you all soon. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.